This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
They say that being in pole position is the worst position to be in sometimes. Why? Because all of those chasing you are always nipping at your heels. Sometimes it can be lonely at the top. Sometimes you can feel a little bit dizzy with all those heights, which spins you out and ultimately leads to the odd defeat here and there. That's exactly what happened on Tuesday night as MK Dons proved the Achilles heel at Wankhorst Stadium, running out 2-1 winners on the back of a superb win away at Newport. But despite those two results, 3 points out of six, the Stags do remain top, but the gap between first and second is only 3 points, with Stockport having a game in hand. There's a long way to go this season. The drama continues. As always, join us to have your say on your team. This is the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. Get involved now. Hello, everybody. Hope that you're all right and that you haven't been too disappointed by Tuesday night's 2-1 defeat at home to MK Dons. We are still top of the league, 66 points on board, plus 38 goal difference. Things are still looking rosy and it still very much is in our hands. And I think, surprisingly, after a defeat, sometimes you do feel a little bit downhearted, a little bit deflated. I've not felt too much of that from fellow Stags fans. But in order to test the water, I need three others to help me out and share their view. So let's introduce you to them tonight. Let's find out who is on the Mansfield Matters panel this evening. The man who is absolutely gutted that George Marish didn't get a goal on Tuesday night. Hello, Mr. Alan Wilson.
Yeah. Good evening, Craig. Good evening, everybody.
Would you like to very briefly tell people why you're gutted that George Marish didn't get a goal on Tuesday night? You had a little bit of a confab, didn't you, with him?
Yeah, half time. I just had a quick word with him. I said, George, I says, there's been players in the past that we've really hyped their name up and it's gone on and it's carried on the system. You know, it's gone right through the rest of their career. And I just said, would you have a problem in when you scored, if and when you score, me shouting out your name as Giorgio Mauricio? And he says, no, not at all, not a problem.
Now, I think what you could do with that, mate, is I think you could end up being a bit of a trendsetter. I've heard he's already been on to Deedpoll to change his name, but I do feel like we need to have a little bit of a practice before we properly get into the podcast tonight. I don't want you to shout it because I know you'll set your dog off barking, but I mean, I'm particularly interested, Alec, in the way in which you're going to do the surname.
Yeah, Giorgio Mauricio.
I think there needs to be a bit of a rolled R in there, like Mauricio, like proper go with the accent. But
I'll work on it then.
Please do. Let's say hello and good evening to our other two guests. So you've just had a brief look at them if you're watching the video version. Evening, Jim.
Evening, Craig. Evening, everybody.
Nice to see you, as always. As always, there's a bit of delay with Jim. And there's always a bit of an echo with Cam as well. We'll wait and see what happens here, shall we? The last time he was on, we were all looping back around like we were in some sort of like synthesizer booth. He's also been playing around with his lights. At one point, I noticed during the intro there, he had his room set like he was on an 80s porn set. Hello, Cam. Well, I can't hear you, but... Nope, can't hear him. Sign language again? No. Well, Cam was here for a brief time, and now Cam's not here. See you later, Cam. Alan and Jim, it's just us. Sure, Cam will pop back up at some point. Jim, shall we start with Tuesday night? We'll work backwards, shall we? 2-1 defeat at home to MK Dons. Like I said in the intro there, I don't feel too disappointed because I walked out of the ground and I said to my dad, I think we've just played one of the best footballing sides in the league. We deserve what we got.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best team I've seen come here this season for me. And we had no qualms with the result. I think it was fair. And like I say, you've got to look at the sort of bigger picture in terms of the season. And we're still top. We're still in a good position. It's gone. Just look forward. You know, if we get promoted, then no one will care about Tuesday night. So I think, you know, well, like Clough was right. It's gone already. Just keep looking forward. We're in a good position still.
That's the key factor, isn't it, Alan, at the minute? You know, we're in such a good position that historically, when we lose a game at this time of the season and we are in a position like this, the worry, the doubt, the negativity sets in tenfold. Nigel Clough has been very clear, and I think he's absolutely spot on to say it as well. That's now happened, and that game has gone as soon as the referee blew that full-time whistle.
Yeah, Aaron, I would echo all the comments that yourself and Jim and all the other fans have made on, the various commercial sites and everything. But it's not like Nigel said, it's not like we didn't have chances. Because I think there's a lot of people would have been a bit more upset if we hadn't had any chances, you know, no shots on goal, et cetera, et cetera. We did have chances. And I still don't know how Quinny snuck that one in from the penalty. It was a quality finish, that, I thought. He seems to get in those places quite a lot, don't he, Quinny?
Yeah, he certainly does. Although I did have that horrible feeling, Jim, before the penalty was taken. It seemed to take an absolute age. I felt like we were going to miss it, but I did feel like we'd probably get one in on the rebound.
Lucas is usually pretty good, isn't he, from penalties? But I think their goalkeeper was very good, by the way. I think he was good. He was really good all night. But I don't know. I just had a weird feeling about it from the start of that game. You could tell they were going to be good. I don't know what it was. You could just tell. But, I don't know. I've sort of moved on mentally from Tuesday night. I just got to just focus on the next game.
I think you have to. I think you have to in the end. I think it's not one a result that you can dwell on, really, because one thing you know for sure, Alan, is the fact that come Saturday afternoon at home to Swindon, there'll be a response. There'll be a bit of a resurgence.
Yeah, well, we know that Nigel's made it clear all through the season that there's no way you should lower us, or you will lower us, two games back-to-back. And I believe in that, and I just think it'll be a better performance. Not that the performance wasn't credible, should we say. I don't think it was a poor performance. I just think they were better than us. But on Saturday, I think it'll be a different kettle of fish. We've lost one now. Let's bounce back and get 3 points, to move us further up where we need to be.
Yeah, that's all that matters, isn't it? It's just about, you know, taking each game at a time, going, you know, one by one and things like that, and just moving on with it. We'll go back to Newport in a second. But I think Simon has just hit the nail on the head here, Jim, in the comments, by saying, lost to a very good team who scored two very good goals.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I think you just got to take your hat off and say they did us. And, when you lose fairly to a better team, you can swallow it. It's when you lose to an injustice or a bad refereeing decision or something like that when it's difficult to take. But when you lose fair and square, you just it's easy to swallow. And fair, they were brilliant. I'm just because playing like that, I just think doing it all season, because I say the best I've seen come to field this season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that 100%, Alan. Before we sort of came live, whilst we were waiting for Cam to try and sort his microphone issues and things out, we were talking about team selection, and you were saying, Alan, that you were surprised to see, was it 5 changes Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Nigel had his own beliefs and whatever, but I was just surprised that there were 5. There's usually 2 or 3, and I think you can cope with that. But for whatever reason, he went with the 5. I mean, Nigel knows more than we. In Nigel, we trust and everything else. But it just, I don't know, it was just strange to me.
I'm not.
But, you know, who am I?
I mean, I'm not overly surprised by it, Jim, to be fair, because like Alan's just said there, he does like to chop and change. 5 probably did seem a little bit excessive. But like we were sort of saying on the last podcast, we've got a lot of games in quick succession in this period, Saturday, Tuesday for 2 weeks. So actually, 5 changes, I think, in his head was probably a rational thing to do. Thoughts?
Thought, yeah, but I think personally, at back four, I would always leave. I'd pick your best back four and leave it alone. I mean, that at Newport, we didn't concede any shots on target. So to me, you don't have to run around as much in defence. I just think I'd have left that alone, that back four. And I'm all for, you know, mixing up the engine room in midfield and perhaps up front. But I don't know why I dropped George Williams. I'd have kept him in the starting line. Personally, that unit was brilliant at Newport. But we're not privy to everything, are we? We don't know if someone was sore or how they've
trained. I'd agree with that, Jim.
So, I mean, we don't know the full picture, but, you know, assuming we're all fit, I'm always a fan of leaving a settled back four, but, you know, he gets, Clough picks the team, so, you know, there's no right or wrong, I guess. You know, if we'd have won the game, he's you know.
Yeah, I sort of expected Barry to come in, to be fair, Alan, on Tuesday, because he adds that extra little bit of height, which George Williams, bless him, doesn't. I know he's, you know, George Williams is still, it's strange to say, sort of coming back to full fitness. But again, similar to you, I thought if anywhere he was going to come in, I thought he might have gone left back and Cargill would have gone back into centre back. But you can't really disrupt that. If you're going to disrupt any area, if you're going to change any area, it's the full backs. You never disrupt the centre backs. Although saying that, and I'm going to say this from the comfort of my home studio here, address unknown, so he can't find me because I'm scared of him because he's tall. I thought Aidan Flint had his worst game in a Mansfield shirt on Tuesday, but he still had a very good game. But he probably needed a rest, but I understood why he was in there. I'm not saying he had a terrible game. I think he looked injured from about the 60th minute onwards, and he just looked a little bit tired and like it was almost a step too far.
I would have put the word as frustrated.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you mean. He didn't play particularly badly, you know, like everybody else. Brunt, I thought Brunt, the man of the match, Brunt, was fair. Mm. I thought Brunt did have a good game. And he just looked frustrated to me. But, you know, it's probably because you know, they were as good as they were. And they were making us run for balls, you know, that we hadn't got a chance yet. Because it's like everybody's said before, even the players have said before in interviews, you get that first goal and the second goal, and then they've got to come to you, haven't they? You know, and we can, and I know we don't, but we can block up. It's like if Newport had scored a goal, they'd have blocked up and we'd have really struggled, like we did at Warsaw. It's that type of thing. And once they went 2-1 ahead, you know, even though we had plenty of chances in the second half and we were like battering at them quite a few times, it just didn't fall. And on the other night, you know, it might have done.
I think
just one of those things, mate.
I think it is, Jim, for me, Aidan Flint is absolute quality and we are so blessed to have him at our club and him being the captain. He's had a tremendous season. But when he got injured, where was it that he got injured now? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. It was an away game, wasn't it? It went down early doors.
Yeah, I think away somewhere.
Yeah, it might have been Morecambe.
Wimbledon, wasn't it?
I think it was Morecambe. Wimbledon.
Possibly.
Wimbledon.
Yeah. Wimbledon, yeah. Wimbledon. Yeah, Wimbledon it was, yeah. I think then, after that, Nigel Clough sort of said, we're going to have to manage him, but we're going to leave it up to him.
Yeah.
I think, Jim, for me, one thing that Nigel Clough should have perhaps done in hindsight with this Saturday, Tuesday thing is gone for one of the Tuesdays, I'm going to rest you and I'm going to leave you out, because I think you can only play on adrenaline for so long before you burn out. And I think with the fixtures we've got to come, I think we're going to need a fully refreshed, fully recharged Aidan Flint. And I think one game, especially when you've got the likes of Steve McLaughlin, Bailey Cargill, you know, Elliot Hewitt's on the comeback, George Williams, you've got so many options in there. You can afford to just take him out for either one game or in the 60th, 65th, 70th minute, take him off.
Yeah, I think taking him off is probably the best option, especially if we're winning and we've got a bit of a cushion. But I think he's so vital, though, isn't he? The whole team is built on him for me now. And I think resting him is just would seem a bigger gamble than if it was just any other player. I can see why Clough would always want to start him, because it's not just his own game. It's his influence on everybody else around him as well. But I agree there. If we're two or three goals clear, then bring him off for sure. You know, if there's like 20, 15, 20 minutes left. But I've just seen something in the comments about him playing up front. I'm effective up front. Brilliant at the back, but he's no striker for me. No forward. He doesn't seem to win much in the end. He wins everything at the back. When he goes up front, he never seems to win a lot. And I don't see what Clough's obsession is with putting him up there. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I agree. It's Mark in the comments. Sorry, who said that? Simon said, still not convinced. Pushing Flint up top for the final 10 minutes seems to disrupt our play as opposed to benefit. I actually think, Alan, on Tuesday night, I might have read this wrong. You might have had a better viewpoint from me, but we made our final two substitutions, and I think Flint looked to be or appeared to be struggling slightly, and he sort of came over and had a conversation with Nigel Clough on the bench. And he sort of took himself up front and Ollie Clark sort of dropped in. I think it was more of a, so I don't have to do as much running at that point.
I'm going to say, I don't know about that. I saw Ollie Clark come and talk because Brunty came over and he had some tablets. He needed some tablets and he had some tablets. And I saw Ollie Clark have a quiet word with Nigel. And then straight away, he sort of went into the back, into the centre-half position. So I'm not sure whether, you know, that was already planned or, you know, whether Flint just wanted to go up there for a rest, whatever. I don't know. But he just didn't quite look himself, let's say, like you said, after 60 minutes. But, you know, all things can change and he'll probably be backfiring on all cylinders Saturday. I mean, we just don't know. Like Jim said, we don't know whether he's had a knock in training, you know, has he trained as much as he can? We just don't know. Because we're not used to him playing, you know, a little bit under par, shall we say, are we?
It's a catch-22 situation for me with Flint, because I also agree with what Mark says, and that taking Flint off would lift the opposition. But my argument is, in this whole thing, Jim, that you mentioned in there that he's so ingrained with our DNA now that he almost has to play. And the one worry I have, and we all felt it at Wimbledon when he got injured, is that whole, if we take his Jenga piece out from our giant Jenga puzzle, the whole thing's going to come crashing down. I think we need to test that theory, because honestly, as much as he's a phenomenal captain, he's an excellent player, we're so blessed to have him. I'm not saying any of that isn't true, but I also think that we have got such a rich squad that one game moving him out isn't going to impact as much as people think it might.
Well, I think I watched the Wimbledon away game with you, Craig, didn't I? He came off, didn't he, when he did his shoulder in that one? And we all sort of worried then, but we seemed to cope all right, didn't we, to be fair? Thinking back, we didn't just fall to pieces. I mean, I agree. I mean, the squad, you know, I mean, if it means taking him out for a game, we should cope, in theory. But, yeah, I don't think we'd fall to pieces. But if there's one player you'd want on the team sheet, it's you know, the first name down the team sheet, it is him. And if he is, if he can get on the pitch even at 99, you want him there. But I agree. I think if he's not right, then yeah, if he can get him playable.
Yeah.
How many games into the season was it, Craig, that he, when he came and started?
I think it was only he didn't play the first game, did he? Because it was he was on the bench for the first game. It was after it was, I think it was he started the second game. He's played every game since then. Because it was,
I'm gonna say, so 30 odd games, one under par performance for the last 30 minutes. I think we can,
and to be fair,
I think we can let him on.
I don't want it to appear like I'm saying, oh,
no, I know. Because
I get what Danny's saying, because I agree, Daff not playing Flynn, I completely agree. But what I'm saying is, when you've got a period of four games in 2 weeks, and you've been to Newport the game before, and it's a horrendous, horrendous journey for all involved, supporters, players, etc., and you've got to try and meet the demands of it. And when you're playing with an injury, all I'm saying is sometimes taking him off early, or maybe not starting him and then bringing him on, when you've got so many riches who are of equal quality, it would be it's an option which we could explore. Not that we should, that we could. But like Paul's just said, Flint would want to play if he had a broken leg and his arm is and it is
that was going to be my next comment.
And that's why Nigel Clough has said, I'm not making the decision. It's completely up to him. And that is absolutely, completely fair enough. Let's move on, because I feel like I'm having an argument with myself here. Let's move on from that and say, let's talk Newport, shall we? A 1-0 win, and it was your mate Giorgio Mauricio, Alan, that managed to get on the score sheet.
It certainly was. I thought he had a very good game. I thought most of them did. And it was Cargill down the left-hand side again. He does link up well with Quinny, don't he? He really does. You know, when they're on it together, it links up really well. The little flicks and little side taps and the back heels, they just come off a treat. And, I'm very pleased with the performance there, because, you know, they are a tough side at home. They've proved that in the past. And like I said, if they'd have gone one up, I think we'd have struggled to break them down. But we were fully deserved of the points on Saturday, in my opinion. It was a good all-round performance.
Well, those who are watching the live version will have noticed that certain Mr. Felton has just popped up. I can't hear myself looping back, which is one progression from earlier. But can we now hear him?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Good evening, Cam.
I told you. What did I tell you? Turn porn off, and you'll have much more success. How are you?
I'm good. Annoyed. I'm good.
Good to see you as always. We've just been over the MK Dons game, but we'll give you 30 seconds to talk about it.
Shite. It was probably the worst performance we've had all season. And we can't afford to have many like that between now and the end of April. And if we're totally honest, fair enough, MK Dons might have been good, but Christ, we made it easy for them.
There is a degree of that. I would agree to an extent. I thought they were one of the best sides that we've played this season, but I agree that we did make it a little bit easy for them in some parts. Jim, I thought in some areas that our midfield was lacking, and that we allowed them too much space. But I think we played them arguably at the wrong time. Like we were just sort of saying there in the Flint conversation, the one team you don't want to play after a trip to Newport is a side who are going to zip it about and play with high energy and high intensity, which is exactly what MK Dons did. Jim?
Yeah, sorry, it keeps breaking up. No, I agree. I think they were fantastic in midfield. But I say the best midfield in League Two. I think we just caught them on a really, really... I think it ties into this Flint conversation about him not doing very well on Tuesday. I think because the midfield were rotten, he was under far more pressure than he should have been. And so they all looked a bit more under strain. But we just got dumb best. And I'm glad we only have to play them once again more this season.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting be an interesting take.
The rematch, sorry, Craig, the rematch will be very interesting, won't it?
Yeah, looking forward to that one when we go go down there, because you know it could be a very pivotal afternoon for us in terms of when it falls. I think Paul has just made a good point in the comments as well, Cam. I think it would be a kick up the arse and we will come out fighting now because we are better than that. I think sometimes, you know, when you go top and when you sort of are on this crest of a wave, you do need a little bit of a performance like that. You do need to lose a game like that because it does provide that motivation, doesn't it? I'm thinking all the way back to the conference years and those little, we had a little stumble in mid our run and it sort of ignited us again. And like we say before, Cam, Nigel Clough does not like to lose two games on the spin, so there will be a reaction.
Yeah. It's a difficult one to dissect because prior to that, we'd done fantastically in Newport. Other than the win last season, we've had a torrid few visits to there. Obviously, Danny Rose, that incident during COVID, dodgy refereeing decisions. Your car buggering itself on the
I
way.
I forgot
down.
About that. Now I'm going to need, therapy. Thanks.
Yeah, we've just got a rotten bit of luck when it comes to Newport. We had a good performance last season, but same again. It was on the crest of a wave, and we went there again. And it's another one where we've just done the job at hand, and that's what we've done for most of this season. But for whatever reason, we didn't get out of first gear for a lot of the game. And when we did, it was for very, very few spells. And then when we did create things, we didn't finish them off, which is very unlike us this season. We've been very clinical this season in most games. And even in the games where we've not been clinical to the chances that we've created, we've still scored three or four. And we've got the job done. Whereas whatever happened Tuesday night just didn't. It wasn't us. I don't know whether it was just because that they play a similar style of football, high intensity, pass the ball around a bit more, and it just resorted us to lumping it because you could see a mile off sometimes where the ball was going to go next because we just couldn't figure out what to do next. And it was frustrating to watch. But same again, when chances like DKD's pops up, when Swanee's pops up, when the ball just bounces around in the box like it did, all you need is someone just to stick their foot through it, and we don't, then it's very difficult to sit here complaining when we don't take the chances when they come practically on a plate to us.
Let's run through a few comments. Seji from X, aka Twitter, says, I think that's harsh, Cam. MK didn't allow us to play best team at Field Mill since Port Vale in the Cup. And Ben adds, MK came to play football on the front foot. Most sides have come to Field Mill to sit back. I think we struggled to adapt. And Simon adds, like most teams, we do tend to struggle on a Tuesday night after a win on Saturday. I do think, Alan, that, and this is the final sort of word we'll have on the MK Dons and the Newport game, I do think that whole having a game after a trip like Newport did play a factor. It was a heavy pitch on the night. It's always a trek of a journey to Newport. It was a hard game at Newport as well. And I think all of those factors combined, you can't win every single game. And like Nigel Clough said, as soon as that final whistle was blown, we can't change it. We can't deal anything about it. So we move on.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. You know, we'll just look forward to Saturday now. Put that one to bed. We can carry on with the performance up until we meet MK Dons again. And then hopefully we'll learn from his lesson.
And move on we shall. Jim, I'm going to come to you again. And we talk about having options back in there to bolster us towards the back end of the campaign. And we've had a bit of good news this week in that Elliot Hewitt has finally been back in competitive action. He played 45 minutes for the reserves, I think against Huddersfield yesterday. Came through seemingly unscathed. Great to have him back in action.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the best. It sounds cliche, but it's like signing a fantastic fantastic new defender, isn't it? Because we've not had him for so long. Embarrassment to riches everywhere. We're strong everywhere. You look through the team, go defence, midfield, forward. We're not where the one. I mean, if you as you would say, the one thing, the pace it tells. But I think really, I think there's plenty in the squad to get the job done. Top three. I mean, the squad's in a good place. Bodies wise, I think there's only about four out now. So it's looking good like there. I'm confident. I know we lost, you know, on Tuesday, but I think with 11 games left, and you look at the facts, we've scored the most goals, we've let in the least goals. I think we'll be fine as long as we just sort of stay calm, stay in the process, game at a time. I can't see us not getting this done.
I think it's a fair point. I think, like Jim's just mentioned there, Cam, you know, the amount of bodies we've still got to come back. We're where we are on merit by absolute. Oh, he's gone. All right, I'll put this to you instead, Alan. Obviously, you know, he must have had some sort of pop-ups which he had to deal with, you know what I mean? He'll be back in 30 seconds. Oh, no, there he is. Yeah, he's back. Hello.
I kicked my internet box under my desk.
Oh, there you go. You're not supposed to. What? That's a dangerous place to put it under your desk, isn't it? Anyway, we won't go there. We're talking Elliot Hewitt and players coming back, Cam. And obviously, you know, Jim was talking about there about only missing a couple. But you look at those couple that are missing, and when they come back, they are absolute key additions to have. I agree with what Craig just said in the comments that I don't think we'll see Oates in a shirt again. Definitely not this season. I probably don't think we will again in the future either, which is sad to say. We'll talk about that later on. But in terms of impacting this season, Elliot Hewitt, I think he'll probably be in and around it within the next 2 weeks. Probably not a starter, but he'll be there on the bench to bolster that. Callum Johnson at some point has got to come back. Callum McDonald's got to come back as well. There are three key players there who can all come in and impact, and they're doing it at exactly the right time.
They are, and it can only be a positive that Elliot's coming back. He's not going to be obviously involved with the first team straight away. Obviously, he played 45. More than likely, he might make it onto the bench on Saturday. Not be used, but that seems to be the way that Clough does things. Same with James Gale. Just being out for so long, and then obviously Gale played in the other reserve match? Was there
no, he
reserve?
Played in the same one. It was him, McLaughlin, and Gale with Abdullah on there as well. Also, quick notice on that. Nice little cameo appearance from Jack Hawkins and Kieran Kaup throwing back the years. Apparently, they got on as well, and Jack nearly scored. Great lads, by the way.
Oh,
great lads.
Oh, quality. But it is positive, and it seems to be the way that obviously Clough likes to do things. And it's very difficult because there's not... Same again, the reserve league isn't what it used to be. There isn't constant games. And previously there was cup fixtures thrown into that as well, so you could win a bit of silverware and just a bit more competitive. Whereas now, obviously, I don't know whether it's just us not entering it in the same way or what, but it's a nice way to ease players back in that have been out for so long. Obviously, Elliot Hewitt... When you do your ACL, you're a bit hit and miss whether you're going to come back the same player, and especially because of his pace and his sort of like stamina that he shows usually, it's whether you want to chuck him in too soon. You'd have thought, right, he's played 45 this week. We've got a game on Saturday, so he'll probably be on the bench. You're probably expecting to then... another reserve game, he might play 60 minutes, 70 minutes. Then you might see him come on as a sub for the first team if he gets through those okay. So it still might be a long way yet, but the positive is that it's another body, and it means that we might not necessarily have to be relying on someone like Mikhail Abdullah, who's been playing 90 minutes in the morning for the kids. And then coming and sitting on the bench for the first team in the afternoon because it's too much. Yeah. And actually, it's a waste of a space on the bench.
Yeah. I agree. I think the key thing with Elliot Hewitt, I think you mentioned it there, you alluded to it there anyway, is when he comes back. And well, two things. First thing is when, and then it is if he's as good as he was. But I think the key thing for me, Alan, the key takeaway here is not doing what we've historically done in the past, which is rushing him back, because you're not the same player when you've done your ACL. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to settle back in. We're nowhere near the same squad and same style as we were. He's been in and around it. He's obviously been around the lads as well, and been around the training ground, so he's not missed too much on that side of things. But there is A, no need to rush him back, and B, it's probably the wrong thing to do for him as well. And it's then C, where do you see him playing? Do you see him contending at centre back, and therefore it's Flynn or Brunt or Cargill's space, or do you see him playing at full back and adding to the right back options, which is between Bowery and George Williams at the minute, and then Callum Johnson when he comes back? Let's talk about the first thing to start off with, though, Alan. That is not rushing him back. I know there'll be a lot of desire to want to see him come back, but there is absolutely 100% no need to put him on the bench on Saturday.
Well, I think Nigel and the rest of the crew, you know, who have been looking after him, will know that anyway. They won't bring him back until it's absolutely necessary. They'll give him little bit parts, like when there's a substitution, when there's reserve match. That's the word I'm after. It's age, you know. When there's a reserve match, he'll start playing or whatever, like 45, like Cam said, 60, 75, whatever. But I just, like you say, there's no need to rush him back. I think it'll be perfect. When he does come back, you know, there'll be a purpose for him, whether it be centre-back, whether it be right-back, or who knows, it might even be in midfield. But there will be a purpose when he needs to come back.
And I think there will be a place for him as well. Nigel Clough, you know, knows and values his addition and his qualities as well. Paul says Hewitt on the bench Saturday. Marie says too soon, needs more reserve game time. Ben says get him on in the second half if we're a couple up. Too soon otherwise, but he does need minutes in the legs. Phil says would love to see Hewitt back, but don't rush it. Don't want any reoccurrence. And ladies and gentlemen, the gate is open for comments. And the gate says evening gateaholics. Go on, there you go. Welcome to the gate. Let's stay on the subject of Elliot Hewitt for a second, Jim, and get your opinion on this. When do you bring him back?
When he's completely right. As people have already said, I don't think we're not desperate for him this minute. We've got Bauer, we've got Williams in that position. I think we don't need him now, and I certainly won't be rushing him back, not after. When he does come back, I've no doubt the same player. I think the position he plays, he's a fit lad anyway. He's still pretty young. I think he'll be all right.
And the other question in there,
I don't think it's, if we think back to when we had Jamie Murray, he had a complete knee re- and he was right. He was getting on a bit anyway. And his game really did suffer, but I don't think Hewitt will.
I think the other question in there, Cam, as well, is we've sort of covered when, and we've discussed how he's brought back in and how he's integrated, but where if you're Nigel Clough and you're looking at plotting out your squad and your team, where are you thinking that Elliot Hewitt is going to have the most impact on your squad, which is, we have to say it, challenging for the League Two title?
Right back, because Bowery the last couple of games at right back has been horrific. So I'd let Hewitt and Williams battle it out. Williams is quite clearly capable of playing there. Obviously, it's his position, but he can't do it every game. So where's the harm in alternating them games? Saying one game, one game, one game, one game. It just like Paul just said, right wing back.
Not wing back. We're not playing with wing backs. We play flat back four.
All right, we'll play flat back four. But I just wouldn't. The reason that Barry's there is because Callum Johnson and Elliot Hewitt are both out injured. If they are both fit, that is three right backs. Barry doesn't play there if they're all fit. He probably plays on the left instead of Cargill, but it's still it's a problem that's been created because of injuries, and it's the only reason that Bowery is there. Same as when Aikens was playing there, or when Aikens was playing left back, or Bowery was playing left back, is because we were short of options, and now we are short of left-sided options. So if Elliot Hewitt can play left-footed, he might have a place on the left-hand side. But then again, Cargill, other than Tuesday night, has done well at left-back.
I mean, I'll just clear up the Jordan Barry point. Jordan Barry plays wherever Jordan Barry wants to play, and he can start any game he wants because he is king. But I agree, the whole wing-back thing. No, right-back, flat-back four, we do not play wing-backs because I think if we ever set up to play wing-backs again, we might as well say hello, League Two, for another season. But Alan, I agree on the left sort of back point as well. I think we sort of disregard Stephen McLaughlin a little bit. I know Nigel Clough's not starting him a lot. He's sort of preferring Bailey Cargill there. And I have to say, at Newport, Bailey Cargill was absolutely tremendous. And I think the way he attacks, his attacking game, suits the way we play very, very well. It's only really when we come up against sides like MK Dons or sides that will press high with pace and intensity that Bailey Cargill struggles defensively.
Yeah, I did say last week on the podcast, I said that I remember saying that he's got to be playing really well, Cargill, to keep McLaughlin out, because McLaughlin, I think, is a quality player. And each time he does come on, he does, you know, he plays well, generally. He can get down the line, he can cross the ball. But I think Gargill's deserving his place at the moment because he's playing so well. And he does chip in with the odd goal. Certainly I'm not saying McLaughlin doesn't, but, you know, Cargill, I think he deserves his place at this present time.
Yeah, I don't have any... I don't think there's any particular player in that 11 at the minute who I can categorically say I don't want to be in there. Because we are rotating it anyway, and they're all there on merit, and we're top of the bloody league. Let's remember that. All right, we lost on Tuesday, but we're still there, and we're where we are, absolutely on merit, and we are now, for me, you know, we are contending for that League Two title. Am I bothered about winning the League Two title? No, I'm not. Am I bothered about finishing the top three? Yes, I am. The League Two title will be a cherry on the cake, but whilst we're there, we might as well stay and fight for it, but not get too blindsided by it. Still more to come here on the Mansfield Matters podcast tonight. Keep your comments coming in and have your say on your team. Clive's been in touch and says, good evening, fellas from Devon. Now, I hope you've brought us some treats back from Devon on your way back, particularly Devon ice cream, Devon Forge, all of that sort of good stuff. I'm sure there'll be something coming back from Clive. Phil asks, could we not play Macca as a left mid / winger? Again, another option which he certainly looks at can sort of interchange with Quinn and give us that balance there as well. We are so blessed with options. It is such a lovely thing to say about our Mansfield Town FC. Right, still to come, we're going to look ahead to those two upcoming fixtures in Swindon and Tranmere. We'll take some more of your comments, questions and opinions in the live feed. Plus, we'll talk an evening with Nigel Clough and Carolyn making her podcast debut. More on that after these.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Now coming up on the 28th of April, Sunday the 28th of April, not only will Mansfield Town fans hopefully have severe hangovers, but they'll also have an opportunity to relive their past as we head to Mansfield Museum as part of the Beautiful Game exhibition to welcome back former Stags goalkeeper Ian Bowling to share his Stags stories.
He's got plenty of them as well, including that infamous handshake with a supporter who decided to attend the game wearing nothing but his birthday suit and a snood slash balaclava thing. More on that on the night, though. Tickets are on sale now, £4.50 per person. All proceeds go to supporting the excellent job that Mansfield Museum are doing, and that is on Sunday, the 28th of April, starting at 6 p.m. There's only a few tickets left, so make sure you get involved by clicking the link in the description and getting involved with Stag Stories Live with Ian Bowling. And also in the link in the description, the link for Nick's second shirts event, which takes place on the 8th of May at 7 o'clock start. Tickets for that one are completely free. See the links in the description. Right, still lots to talk about here on the Mansfield Matters podcast tonight. And Jim, let's start with an evening with Nigel Clough on the 20th of March, so a week on Wednesday. I believe it is now sold out as well. Would that be one of your working weeks, or have you managed to wangle tickets for it, or are you going to be watching it back?
Yeah, I've got a ticket for that one. I'll be on day shift for that. So, yeah, I'm going to that. I'm looking forward to that. I've not worked out what I'm going to ask him yet, but it's usually quite quite an enlightening night sometimes, isn't it? So, yeah.
So that makes it at least 3 months for Matters members going on the night. Cam won't be. Cam will be twiddling his thumbs somewhere watching Hollyoaks or whatever it is that you do on a Wednesday night.
I'm not an SSA member.
And you don't live down here either. Let's remember that point as well. Alan, you were interested in ticket touting. Did you manage to get your hands on one? Did they put one aside for you? Did you have a word in the right ear? Let me unmute you because I forgot you were on mute. Go on.
Certainly did.
There we go. So we've got a quarter of Mansfield Matters podcast crew on the night. Maybe Nick will go. I don't know. I've not spoke to him. But yes. So me, Jim, Alan and Clive will be there on the night as well. So come and say hello to us and we'll love to find out. Is there anything in particular, Alan, that you want to ask either him or Richard Cooper? Because, of course, Richard Cooper, the academy manager, will be there on the night as well as a guest. He'll be answering some questions as well. Any questions for either of the two that you'd like to see answered?
Possibly one for Nigel. You know, with him having a couple of promotions on his CV, as it were, does he see any similarities in the squad he's got at this present time at Mansfield to what he had at Burton?
What about you, Jim? Is there any questions that you'd like to put to Nigel Clough and to Richard Cooper? I know you said previously that you weren't quite sure what you'd like to ask him. So what things would you like to talk to them about?
Nothing you'd probably answer. But the first thing that comes to mind is seeing if we don't go up, but... No, I've not. I don't know, to be honest, Craig, about it yet. I will have a question ready. I've not really thought about it yet. But they're always interesting, those events. But you're not going to get anything, I guess, too. Sure.
Cam, what about you? Obviously, you're not going on the night, so you've got one or two options. You can either ask us to ask a question for you, or you can get your mobile telephone. You can turn it into portrait mode. You can film yourself asking a question and send it to zeke@mansfieldtown.net. That's zeke@mansfieldtown.net. What's your question, Cam Felt?
I mean, to be fair, I don't really have a question for Nigel at the moment. It's all going...
Or it can be for Richard Cooper. You can ask him a question as well.
We ask Steve-O a question instead.
No.
Damn it.
I'm
waiting for a reply from him, and I have done for the last 2 days, 2 emails. Sort it out. Whilst I'm on that, actually, bring this up, if we've got time.
Is this anything to... Put it in the chat, and I'll say yes or no, and we'll move on, because I don't want it to disrupt from the feature that we're talking about. There is a structure to this show, believe it or not. Yes, there is.
idiot. Yeah, I'm coming on to that later. It's on my notes. See? Structure.
Okay.
But trust in me. Experience, son. Come on. Let's move it on. One of Simon's questions would be, are enough academy players getting through the system? I'm sure that'll be asked on the night. Simon, if you are going on the night, do ask it. If you're not, get your mobile telephone device, turn it to portrait mode, put the video on, film yourself asking that question, and send it to Zeke at mansfieldtown.net. I know they want questions from the night. Clive's question would be, Nigel, would you like to be a special guest on the Mansfield Matters podcast before the end of the season? I think Steve-O will answer that question, and his answer will be no. although the opportunity is always there for anyone. It will be a great night, I'm sure. Looking forward to it. I believe it's already sold out. Obviously, there was a little bit of hoo-ha over it, Alan, because SSA members got first priority over it. But I think the important thing to highlight with this one is that it's an SSA event, and there is a reason why SSA members do pay that that membership fee. So, yeah, I can see why people are annoyed. But if the demand's there, why not move it to that big tent that's on the top of the top of the pitch? Just saying.
Be interesting.
Be cold.
Oh yeah, but come on, wear a coat, man.
Put your big coat on.
Yeah, they've got some heaters. And I'm sure there'll be enough spoken by some fans in there to warm the place up anyway. So it's all good. It's not a surprise that it's sold out, Alan, is it? Because they're always interesting nights and always well received. Yeah.
What would be your question, Craig? Have you got one?
No, I haven't. Okay. I'm like Jim. I think my question, to be fair, I think is I'm more interested in the Richard Cooper side of things. I think, like Simon says, are enough academy players getting through the system? What are the plans in place for the future for those getting in the system as we aim to climb up the divisions? And also, I think an interesting one for Richard Cooper would be, because he has been here, let's not forget, he is a stalwart of the club. He's been here since the conference days. Remember, he was our first team coach when we were promoted the last time. I would actually like to see, or like to hear, how he thinks from through his eyes the club has changed and evolved into where it is now. So, yeah, that'd probably be my question. Paul says, supporters are supporters no matter what. So, SA event first is rubbish. Take it up with those that matter. I'm not here to have a debate on it. I'm an SSA member. I got my ticket. If I wasn't one, I'd be annoyed. Yeah, of course I was. But it's also going to go on iFollow, and it'll be probably put out on YouTube for free as well in full. So, you know, whether you're in a room with him or you get to watch him through a screen, they could also do that. They could live stream it and sell tickets to live stream it if they want to. So there's all, you know, there's many debates around it. But send a question in, Paul. Send a question. If you've not managed to get there yourself and get in person, send a question in, film yourself landscape, and send it to Zeke at mansfieldtown.net. And please remember to put down who is going to be who your question is going to be for. Right, let's move on to the next topic, and that is, of course, tomorrow is International Women's Day, and it's also a dedicated Her Game to Fix. You have seen a couple of videos doing the rounds on social media. And things like that from female supporters and female employees at the club. Should be an interesting day. And Cam, I know you've got your finger on the pulse when it comes to all things women. So tell us what's coming up on the day, please.
Yeah, so International Women's Day tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be plenty of content going out from the club as well. The Her Game 2 Facebook page, Twitter page, Instagram page, all that. We're posting things as well. And then obviously Saturday, it's the dedicated Her Game 2 fixture. So prior to the game, down the back of the Quarry Lane end, the Adam Soames Elite Training Quarry Lane end. There you are, Alan. I'll get that one out. Spit that one out better than you can.
It's sponsored by them. Thank you.
Welcome. So behind there, so there'll be the cutout, like Instagram board framey thing. That'll be out again. So anybody that wants to take a photo, if you've got kids with you, something that we've noticed more as fans throughout the season is that more kids are attending games, whether that's boys and girls, which is a positive thing. So I'm not saying that we're a bunch of coffin dodgers, but the average age of Mansfield fans until 20 years ago was about 90. And slowly but surely, it's got younger, and there's more girls and women going to games now because it's just a better environment. It's more accessible. Obviously, family blocks and things like that are a big part of that. Activities that kids can do is obviously also a big part of that. So credit to the club for actually doing things, and to the football and the community lot who do obviously do the match day stuff.
Community Trust lot, please. Let's get the proper name now. Otherwise, I'm going to have Alex and Gaz and everyone on the phone to me going, "You've got the name wrong. Mansfield Town Community Trust."
I'm so terrified. credit to them doing a lot of their work for Premier League stars and
Premier League primary stars. Thank you. Come on, get your names right. Come on.
Different.
This is why you didn't get the job, son. You can't even get can't even get the names right. Go on. Sorry.
A job now. there's just so much positivity at the club at the moment, and there's just so much more that young people and specifically young children and young girls can get involved with. So the club's developed a lot since then, and obviously now it's just around the bigger picture, the impact that football has on social media, and unfortunately that goes with the good and the bad. So things like this across most clubs in the EFL are doing this. Nearly all 92 are signed up for a Her Game 2 ambassador now, which is fantastic. So come and meet Emma and Keely and the rest of the team on Saturday. I'll be there taking photos. So if anybody wants a photo with the board, I'll be there with my camera. So just all exposure and all just more positive things from the off the field side of things, as well as the positivity that's on the field at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like the Gate says, the Gates runs an under eights team managed by the Gates. I love it. In Hucknall. And I've got to say, we now have more girls teams than boys teams. It's a good time to be in. Absolutely. You what?
I bet they never concede a goal if they've got a gate at the back.
No, they've got a gate on the touchline. You're missing the joke.
How can anybody get on the pitch if there's a gate on the touchline?
You just walk around the side of it. It's open. You can walk through it. That's how gates work. Keely also says that they've got some raffles going off as well. Go and get involved with all that. Looking forward to it. And on the subject of that as well, an apt time, Alan, for Carolyn to make her podcast debut. Slightly gutted that it wasn't with Mansfield Matters, but, you know, first the worst, second the best and all that. So, Carolyn, you know, the invitation is always open. It's on the Screw It, Just Do It podcast, which is a brilliant name. You've probably not had time to listen yet. I had a listen early today. It is a really really insightful and entertaining podcast, and really insightful about all things Mansfield Town and all things women in business.
Yeah, I haven't. I'd seen it advertised and I'd seen the link, and I will be having a listen later, probably tomorrow when I finish work. But I haven't had time at the moment. I've been quite busy. So, I will be listening to it, and fair play to her.
Yeah, if you want to listen to it, by the way, if you can't be bothered to scroll through Spotify and things like that, we popped the link on our social media page earlier on. Do go and check out the Screw It, Just Do It podcast, where Carolyn is a guest on that. Really insightful, actually, in terms of what it takes to run a football club, the early days at Mansfield Town and all of the things like that. And like I always say, the invitation is always open. I'd love to do something at the end of the season with John and Carolyn, reflecting on their time as Stags owners and looking back over the past, God, must be 15, 16 years now. Since they took over, maybe even longer, at how the club has changed, because it really is in a fantastic position. So that invitation is always open. Right, talking of invitations, we probably should do this.
So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? It's the guessing game that brings you zero fame. But to be the best, you must outguess the rest. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? In the League or Cup, you just make it up. Because they're just works of fiction. It's podcast predictions. Will they win, lose or draw? Right, let's kick off with podcast predictions then, shall we? And talk all things Tranmere first. Swindon first, looking at the wrong notes. We're going to come to you first on this one, Jim. Your predictions for Swindon at home on Saturday, please.
Davis Keeley Dorn, man of the match.
Alan, you're up next.
3-0 win. Cargill, man of the match.
Cam?
1-0 win. Aiden Clinton.
And I am going to go for... I'm going to agree with Alan. I'm going to go 3-0 win. But my man of the match is going to be Ollie Clark. I think he's going to start. I think he's going to have a big impact on that one. Then I'm going to kick us off with Tranmere away then, and I'm also going to go with a win. This time I'm going to go for a narrow 2-1 win. Man of the match, Christy Pym. So let's go back around the same way. So Cam, you're up next for Tranmere, please. I didn't hear that. 3-1 win, Will Swan, is that? Yeah, brilliant. So Alan, you're next.
2-1 win, man of the match, DKD.
And finally, Jim.
1-1, Lucas Aikins.
Thank you very much. As always, if you want to get involved with podcast predictions, the link that you need is in the description. You must submit your guesses no later than 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff on each game. Clive, message the group chat, please, because I can't be bothered to scroll all the way back through these comments because I will lose it. And as always, use the link in the description to get involved in podcast predictions, the guessing game that brings you zero fame. Could this be the weekend where Alan Wilson goes over the 100-point mark? Wait and see. Well, that's all we've got time for on tonight's Mansfield Matters podcast. My thanks, as ever, to the Mansfield Matters podcast panel, who tonight have consisted of Cam Felton, who finally got his tech gremlins working, Jim Evans, and Mr. Alan Wilson. Join us again at the same time next week when we recap all things Swindon and Tranmere and find out who will be on the panel then. As always, if you want to play along with podcast predictions, the link that you need is in the description. You must submit your guesses no later than 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff on those respective games. And of course, if you want to get involved in the Ian Bowling Stag Stories Live on the 28th of April, 6 p.m, the link that you need is in the description, as is the link for Nick's second event, Mansfield Town Shirts Live, on the 8th of May. Tickets for that one are absolutely free. This is the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield matters. We are at the dizzy heights of the top of Sky Bet League 2, but will we be there this time next week? Join us to find out as the roller coaster ride continues. Good night.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.